Blessings, this is Jonathan Ramos speaking, and you're tuning in to Streams with Jonathan Ramos. As we conclude our short series or three-episode series of breaking down the paradigms of the prophets, right? And we decided to do this series in introduction to the House of Prophets, or a organization and or discipleship program that is to be released in late 2019. And in doing so, we're introducing it with a curriculum that was pretty much designed by me in, you know, introducing the House of Prophets, or this discipleship program for House of Prophets, which is designed for people who are called for prophetic ministry and or want to know more about the prophetic ministry. So in doing so, to introduce it, we pretty much decided to answer four questions. And four questions we were able to answer in doing so. This is the fourth one today. In doing so, we did answer what is a prophet and what is prophecy. The last episode, which was episode two, we answered what is the goal of the prophet. Today, we're definitely going to go ahead and answer the final question, which is what are the characteristics of a prophet? Okay. For more information regarding House of Prophets, you can go to our website at houseofprophets.co, or you can also visit us at our website at jonathanramos.org. And tune in for more information, where we will keep you updated on our social media websites. So pretty much, what are the characteristics, or what are the characteristics of a prophet? So for me to answer that, I really want to go ahead and disclose or remove this false paradigm that we have of prophets, which is prophets are called into the caves. Okay, I'm not saying that, you know, the prophets don't have a cave moment where they are away from everybody or they're consecrated. I'm just saying that prophets are not called to the cave, right? That's a misconception we have, which has cost the prophetic ministry a lot. And it has really, really, really tainted the way prophets or prophetic ministry has been able to facilitate the word of God. Okay, you know, it's a conception that we have adapted, which we usually get this from the Book of Kings, where Elijah, out of fear, ran and was into the caves, right? He was alone. Out of fear, he told God, "I am the only prophet left." It sounds cool, but we do show here two aspects. You know, we show one, a prophet, you know, whose faith wasn't much there, or in the time of turmoil, decided to abandon his faith. And one, we also show a prophet who pretty much was suffering depression. Right, it sounds good. Oh, the Elijah, you know, who called fire from heaven and killed the prophets of Baal. But we do show several discrepancies there when it comes to that, to the major prophet. Although he's one of my favorite prophets, but he did run away out of depression. He did run away out of fear, in which he then argued to God, "I am the only prophet left." And God responded to him, "You are not the only prophet left, pretty much. There has been several prophets, or 1,000 prophets, who have not bowed their knees to Baal. So you're not the only one left, right?" This shows that because he was fearful and depressed, he was also thinking of himself. He thought that God would only use him, when there was actually other prophets that God was using. And clearly that has been stated, you know, because God says there has been other prophets that has not bowed their knees yet to Baal, right? So what happens is that when we take this concept of prophets are called to the caves and they're away from society or sociological events or communities, then what happens is that we have now spiritually deprived prophets. We do have prophets now who pretty much cannot entertain and have their the message that they declare that God has given them become tainted, right? My recommendations, if you ever meet a prophet, says, "I am called to the cave, I cannot just hang out with anybody, or I cannot hold any relationships," run. because the means of a prophet or the characteristics of a prophet and the ministry of a prophet goes way beyond that. They are not only called, they're not called to the case. They're not lonely creatures where, you know, God just has them and punishing them by staying alone. The major part of the prophetical beauty of prophetic ministry is that God does use them as a canvas. And the ministry is a difficult ministry. They do have times of moments where they are called to the caves, right? So, you know, when you have a prophet that states, you know, I'm called to the caves only and stuff like that, then it does really taint their message. They will not be able to facilitate the message of God as clearly as possible. And I can guarantee you that any prophet who says they're called away from society or social events or whatever the case is, I can guarantee you that they struggle what it is to hear the voice of God. It is said that, oh no, having too many people around you, you cannot hear the word of God. And we're going to take that concept and we're going to remove it so you can understand the ministry. We are explaining what their goal is and where they came from. So then it is now suffice to understand their characteristics, right? Their first characteristics you'll see is that obviously, you know, it's a no-brainer to everybody, and they are messengers of God, right? Prophets were messengers of God. They were sent by God. They were messengers rather than orators. They didn't really spend their time telling a big story or anything like that. They relayed the word of God given to them for that specific moment. They revealed truth, right? They revealed the word of God at that moment. They were not called, you know, they were called by God, but not in the caves, right? They were, you know, a lot of the misconception we have is, oh, I have to stay alone for then God could call me to be a prophet. No, false. Because a lot of the prophets that God called, they were actually intervene in their daily activities. Isaiah was called in the temple, right? Then you have Jeremiah called as a young man. Then you have the prophet Amos, while in the southern hills, he was called, right? So you actually see that God intervened with these prophets while they were engaging in their daily life or daily activity. Two, the second characteristics you will see is that they're under authority. They were men who were not only called by God or set apart as messengers by God, but they were also men who were men or women under authority. Being that they were under authority, they experienced being called by God that gave each of them their own authority based on authority over changes, authority over atmospheres or regions. They were called by God, messengers of God, and on top of that, God gave them authority to facilitate his work. He was able to give them the word of God or even authority, so whenever they facilitate the word of God, they're able to do so in power and in strength to distinguish good and evil. And it is what separates them from false prophets, right? The most important fact as well, or the most beauty about it, is that not only did they have authority, but the way they carried the authority was when they were sent by God, they carried authority and they spoke in first person. And that's what kind of distinguished them from any other prophet, is that they were speaking in first person, in the first person's perspective when they delivered their message and carried that authority, right? So then the third characteristic we see is absolute obedience. They were men and women who completely obedience to the Lord no matter what, okay? They didn't care what happened, you know, they experienced God, they were called by God, they were under authority, so they were completely in total surrender or obedience to God. In other words, and this is where a lot of people tend to forget to not understand, is that God will tell you, get up and go to a land where you have nobody, where you don't know nobody, and now behold, I am doing a new thing, right? So that's what prophets were. They were completely total in obedience to God. And on top of that, the fourth characteristic we will show is that not only were they completely obedient, but they were totally committed to God, right? Their message was never popular. They called for loyalty to God and adherence to a strict ethical code that ran contrary to the desires of the people and to selfish ambition and selfish self-indulgence of rulers. So they were committed to only the word of God, and that's what got them in trouble. They were committed and facilitating the word of God, no matter how much it will get them in trouble, right? So, you know, they encountered opposition, and throughout all the opposition, you know, one of their marks, despite all the opposition, was their loyalty to Yahweh, their loyalty to God. Despite their persecution, despite anything, they were loyal and they were committed, and they found strength somewhere, somehow, and when they became persecuted, right? So, the prophet's fortitude, their fortitude in staying faithful or committed to the word of God, their tenacity, which they continued to proclaim the message, was incredible, right? And then, of course, they were also, fifth, they were men of compassion and patriotism. You know, I don't know if you ever seen a patriotism, but they were complete Yahwist. I'm talking about Yahwist everything. You know, you ever met somebody who takes pride of their religion or pride of their country or wherever they're from, and they have their flags everywhere? They were complete Yahwist. Anything they did was Yahweh. Everything they did, Yahweh. Everything they breathed, Yahweh. They were complete Yahwist. And then, of course, six, they were faith. They were men of great faith, and they were fearless, right? So we understand these characteristics of a prophet, and now that we see these characteristics, all these prophets, I don't have much time to get into the faith and fearless, but that's pretty much self-explanatory. They were men of authority, and because they were men of authority, their faith grew, right? And they were fearless men, okay? So being that they had these characteristics, then based on these characteristics, we then can understand how a prophet facilitates a message, or how a message is birthed, right? We know that a message is, you know, their messages and their methods, or the prophetic methods, or the methods of a prophet, fit really, really contain a lot of where their messages came from, right? Their first method was personal experience. You see, prophets were not hermits, right? They were not men who lived in caves separated from the life of the ordinary men and women. Prophets were actually actively involved in the life of the nation, both at a local community level and also in wider national affairs, right? So meaning prophets were also aware of, you know, the government systems. They were affiliated with the people. That's where a lot of their messages came from, right? So, you know, they spoke, you know, prophets were far from living the, you know, they were far from living the contemplative life of recluse. In fact, prophets were normally to be found mixing with crowds and moving among people. And because they were moving among people, they spoke to large crowds when they publicly declared God's word. The things they said indicated an intimate knowledge of contemporary social life. So they were involved in the social life based on the messages that came forth from them. Based on the messages that the prophets had, it shows you the fact that they are able to compare, the lightning and you know, they will have a message, and as the lightning falls and on the ground in a beautiful garden, that shows you itself that they were actually affiliated with the world around them. They were actually people who were involved in sociological events, or, you know, economical and social events. They were involved with the community. They were involved. The fact that they're able to go ahead and declare a fortitude and say, as the Tower of Babel, just an example, and the fact that they were able to compare objects, seasons, weather, to the word of the Lord and what the Lord was saying, that shows you that they were very, very much involved in social life. They wasn't far, because somebody who's in a cave, they have nothing to compare their message to, which is kind of boring. They were able to go ahead and look at a green bike and say, as the green bike stands in the corner, so would the green, which means this, so and so, or prosperity will come to you by you standing there. You see, so they were able to facilitate the word of God more effectively. And that was because they were involved in the community, okay? They were also students of history. When you look at a lot of the prophets and their messages, they were very familiar with the history of Israel, and it was the basis of which they were able to facilitate a message, you know, from the time of Moses to the time of John the Baptist. As, you know, as the Lord surely have brought you out of Israel, then he will bring you out of your current captivity. You see, so they were very familiar with the historical event, and if they were very familiar, they were very engaged in social events, right? They were with the community. They were very much aware of the community, right? They were, that's what was their basis of their message, right? The history of Israel, which prophets saw as the record of God's dealing with his people, which provided both the foundation and framework for the message of the prophets. So pretty much being a student of history was their framework. This is where their message birthed, because they found out, okay, as God dealt with you in Egypt, so he will deal with you now. You see, so these are the things that prophets are aware of. They're students of history. They're students, you know, they're not only students of history, but they also have personal experience. That's why they can compare, as, you know, as it hurts being, you know, poor and eating in the street. So this is what the Lord is going to do. He's going to deliver you to the enemy, and as in the streets, you will eat. So you see, they were able to facilitate these type of messages based on their personal experience and history, meaning they looked at the history of God and the people of Israel, and they were able to base their frame or message based on that. Okay. Three, they was also student, you know, the third method is that they were student of contemporary events, right? Prophets were keen students of contemporary affairs and social life in the economical, political affairs, and religious life of the nation. That's why they were able to compare when God was telling them, I want to deliver the house of Israel. They were able to compare it to, you know, the armies. They were able to compare it to slavery, captivity, of taking the land. They were able to compare to this because they were keen at that. They were keen at that. They were students of this. They experienced it, right? So they did not confine themselves to taking interest that equally took interest. They equally took interest in what was happening on the international scene. That was how God was able to be able to facilitate or give them a message, right? Because if you're called to the caves, God really can't speak to you much. And here's why. Because you have nothing to compare your message to. If you're called to the caves, then the only thing that you're going to be able to do is pretty much base your message on one angle only. And because God's, you know, more concerned in delivering the people rather than giving you a message, he will call those who have more, you know, engaged in the community, is what the New Testament will call unity, right? So that's when God called these prophets, and they were able to facilitate these type of messages and compare them, okay? And of course, the most important thing, because although they were socially involved in economical affairs, in social affairs, in political affairs, they also stood in the counsel of the Lord, right? The basis of what they did and their basis of what their goal was is to show for loyalty between God and the people was that they stood in the counsel of God. So not only were they involved with the social life of the people, but they were also stood in the counsel of God, and that's what distinguished them. The basis of what they were came from standing in the council, right? They stood faithful to God, and that's what got them into a lot of trouble. Because when the kings were changing their ways and they saw the house of Israel change their ways, or when God called them to a demographic area, or, you know, and they saw that things were starting to change, they remained the same. And when it comes in the aspect of morals and values, while everybody else changed, they remained the same, yet they were still involved, but based on their message, it changed, right? So that's what kind of got them into a lot of trouble. I hope you were blessed with this 3-episode series, right, of breaking down the paradigms of a prophet. I hope you did learn. If you want more information on what House of Prophets is, tune into our website, houseofprophets.co. Do share, like, and also our podcast is now available in iTunes. So please subscribe and write a review. God bless you guys and see you next week.